Greg. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, tonight we start off with an exciting presentation from Ms. Foster from our middle school and the principal, Ms. Bates. So I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, good evening. I'm excited and honored to be here tonight to honor a sixth grade student for a significant achievement. This is Mrs. Foster, a sixth grade teacher. That will tell us a little bit about it.
I'm so happy to be here tonight to recognize one of our outstanding sixth grade students, Jesse DiMatteo. When I asked my sixth grade classes if anyone would be interested in participating in a letter to the author writing contest, Jesse was my only volunteer. I was really proud of him for wanting to take on that additional challenge and see how his ideas in writing compared to those in the state and the nation. Jesse was assigned the task of writing a letter to an author about a book that he feels changed his view on the world. Jesse chose the memoir, 12 Years a Slave, by Solomon Northrup. I'm pleased to say that Jesse's letter has been chosen as an honorable mention in New York State in this year's 22nd annual Letters About Literature contest, which is sponsored by the Center for the Book in the Library of Congress. So congratulations, Jesse, and we are so proud.
Congratulations. That's a great honor. And one of the things that I think is really exciting about that is it's the desire to be an active learner, to go above and beyond and to do something that's not required. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, Board of Ed, we have a PowerPoint presentation. I don't know if you want to stay seated or probably come around and just sit in the front row so you can see it better on the screen. Okay, as you all know, on May 6th, we're going to have our pretty extensive and comprehensive budget hearing. And at that night, you're going to see probably about 15 or 20 minutes of a PowerPoint presentation. But the last time we left here, this is the last slide we all ended up on, and I'm trying to think that was on April 1st. And as you look here, this is where we kind of looked at our, after all the budget presentations, we looked at our estimated revenue, our proposed expenditures, and in the end, we saw what our shortfall was of $206,000. We got confused last time. Remember, Carol, we got confused about the positive and the negative. Because when you look at that, one's actually, and the expenditures are actually, which I kind of understood, is we're spending less on our expense side of the budget of $205,000.
Which is a positive.
Right, which is a positive. Although it's in red and it's in the parentheses, which always throws me off in the mathematical world. But on the estimated revenue, Carol went into detail, I think, on that last time, that we are, it's estimated for 15-16 to be $411,000 less than what we expected in the year 14-15. So like I said, on April 1st, when we were all here, we ended up saying that we were going to come back today, board. We were going to present the areas that we thought we should make cuts in to reach a balanced budget, and we needed to cut $206,000. Okay. As you'll see on your board agenda tonight, you will see a retirement of Mrs. Susan Kelly. Many of you probably know Ms. Kelly. She was a secretary at the high school for many years. Last year, she accepted the promotion to be the superintendent's confidential assistant in my office. She did an outstanding job this year. We all love Ms. Kelly, but she's going to retire and move on to better things. We did board some, you know, a lot of thinking about this. Carol and I looked at the budget. We felt it was important to make the cut in our central office staff. So at this point in time, our recommendation to the Board of Education is not to replace Ms. Kelly. We're going to work with the part-timers that we have and with the staff that we currently have. So for next year, that savings would be $81,000, a little over $81,000. Mr. Soto and I have had many conversations looking at the paraprofessional staff. That is a fluid area, as we know, because IEPs change regularly. We look very closely at where all of the paraprofessionals are placed right now. We believe that next year we are going to need one less paraprofessional. Now, the reason when I looked at that number of 23,000 and I asked Ms. Perkins, it didn't seem right to me because she said, well, no, we look at health insurance and we look at the person's being paid. We also have unemployment if, in fact, somebody needs it. Because what happens, like I said, it's fluid with the paraprofessionals, so if we ended up needing it or not needing it in another area, that could change. But right now, if we were to eliminate a paraprofessional, and if that paraprofessional went and received unemployment, that is the actual savings that we would save. The last elimination to the Board of Education that we are recommending, as we all know, we've had the parent-child home program for several years. We've been proud of what they have done with what I will call our at-risk students that are under the age of preschool. It begins, I think, about 18 months and up to before they go to preschool. So when we came with the recommendation, or we thought that this was the next recommendation we would make, we sat down as an administrative team and we thought long and hard, well, if we were going to recommend this elimination of the parent-child home program, what are the things that we can do to fill the gap? Because it is a concern of the administrations to make this cut. So the next two slides that I'm going to show you, I asked the team to sit down and discuss it. Mr. Soto and Ms. Hardwick are each going to speak about one slide each on how we plan to fill this gap.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Good evening, everyone. This is a major concern from the administrative point of view in terms of how do we address the gap of students that we need to address with now that the parent-child home program is being recommended to the Board of Education this evening for possible reduction in terms of our budget for next year. One of the things that we would like to do is we currently have a high school club entitled Educators of Tomorrow. The current focus of that club, we would like to revamp. We would like to look at the current focus and sort of add something to it to address the gap that is left as a result of the elimination of the parent-child home program. So the current focus of the program is now working, identifying students that may have an interest in pursuing the field of education and working with those students to give them sort of viable techniques and knowledge in terms of what is the field of education. So one of the things that the advisor does this year, the advisor of the club is Mr. Melandro. He's a high school social studies teacher. He's been working for the district for many years. He's a great teacher. He works with the students on how to develop a lesson plan, how to develop a unit, how to develop assessments, and teaching methodologies. That's something that he has been doing now for a couple of years. He has met a tremendous amount of success. A lot of kids are interested in pursuing this as a career, which obviously we want to help the next generation of educators. We feel that as administrators, this is part of our calling. One of the things I put up in terms of a quote is looking at how can we now take this club and sort of reshape it, redefine it, so that the focus is slightly different by adding a component to it. So the quote reads, I know it's very small, so I'll read it for everyone. By the age of three, low-income children have heard 30 million fewer words than their middle-income peers. By kindergarten, the word gap increases to over 40 million, and the average low-income child has experienced over 25 hours of one-to-one reading time, while their middle-income peers have had over 1,000. This is something that I think as educators, as parents in the room, we kind of take for granted in the sense that when we go home at night, we generally engage in this practice. We read with our children. We introduce them to enriched vocabulary. They hear this enriched vocabulary just by listening to the way we speak, the way we interact. We engage in their sense of curiosity, their sense of creativity. In low-income homes, sometimes that research shows that that seldom happens. So children are coming to us with this already gap within their education in terms of their middle-income peers. So one of the things we would like to do in terms of looking at this club is add a component which is a field study component, which is something that as educators we have to do when we go for an education preparation program. The last three semesters generally of a program is to actually engage in what we call teacher field study. So we do our student teaching with an instructor that actually engages us in the practice of education. We would like to kind of emulate that with our students that are currently in the club. So I had this conversation with Mr. Melandro, the advisor. He's very excited. He thinks that the kids will love the opportunity to engage in this field study. And the way it would look would be that we would develop new procedures and expectations for the club, adding in the field study component. And additionally, we would target the population that the Parent Child Home Program currently targets now. There's three criteria when you're looking at the parent-child home program when they target the population that they're working with. One is the income of the family. The second is targeting families of single-parent households. One of the things that the research shows is that when children come from single-parent, not in every particular case, but the parents are working. So the time that we sort of dedicate to one-to-one reading, to expanding a child's vocabulary just by exposure, by hearing us speak and engaging the child's curiosity, that may not happen in a single-parent household. Additionally, the last component that we will look at in terms of identifying criteria is our ELL population, which is English language learners. English for those particular students, that population, that's a second language. So the acquisition of basic literacy skills in the area of English is maybe a difficult thing for them because, once again, that is a second language for our population. Most of the languages that are spoken at home may not be English, so that is another component of the criteria that we will be looking at. And the last thing that we hope to do in terms of actually sort of formulating this component of the new club is a component of the existing club is incorporating sort of the use of the high school. We could utilize the library, we could utilize a classroom, and possibly engage the kids by, once we identify the families, engage the kids to come to us. And we would actually run sort of the same type of program, the same type of model that is currently used in the parent-child home program, which is exposure. So what the workers for the parent-child home program do is that they go to the homes of the families, and they actually just read with the kids, and they engage in what they call interactive play with toys. Once again, research shows that the exposure to language is a way children at the ages from 18 months to 4 years kind of engage in the practice of building their vocabulary, getting themselves ready for kindergarten, ready for school. So that's the proposal that we're putting forth. We hope that the Board of Education will support it. It will be no additional revenue needed to run this portion of the field study portion of the program, with the exception of maybe incidental funds for books and other materials that the kids will utilize when they work with the kids and families as well. Okay. The next slide is going to be presented by Mr. Dahmer.
So I also want to assure everyone that we are also pursuing every possible grant opportunity. Earlier in the year, I had sat with Helen Fechter when we contacted the Parent-Child Home Program. As soon as they heard that there may be a chance of this not continuing, Helen Fechter has truly cut out a name for not only herself, but specifically the Sudden Bridges Parent-Child Home Program. It was actually in a Reader's Digest edition where one of the individuals involved has been highlighted. They have received much accolades. So two of the individuals that run the organization actually flew here and met with us and assured us that they are doing everything possible. They are meeting with our senators, and the senators really have shown great interest, but of course, we are just waiting for the check to be signed, and so there is still a possibility of getting grants. So while we may not be funding it through our district funds, we are very hopeful that there will be grant monies in addition to still doing all of the other things that we're about to talk about. So it could even grow. Here our fear is the elimination. The reality is it could actually grow even bigger than what it currently is. So that is truly what we're hoping for. In addition to that, the donations, there are not only local businesses that we're reaching out to, but there's an organization called Donors Choose, where you could actually put your requirements on a Donors Choose website. So we're going to be organizing the materials that we need on Donors Choose. So an individual who wants to help a school system can see, oh, $1,000 worth of books, excellent, I want to support that. $1,000 worth of educational games, excellent, I want to support that. So these are other funds that we could possibly get to assist with this great program. And also, we have initiated discussions with MYO and the Mauritius Community Center. We have started, thanks to the hard work of the curriculum committee, the enrichment program that we have started within this district has just taken off. It has truly proven to be so exciting and successful. We would like to consider the possibility of growing a volunteer program to include having volunteers be a part of this program. Helen Fechter could in fact be a part of the training, just as she trains her current individuals who go out into the homes. So if we can work with the Mauritius Community Center as well as MYO and Helen Fechter, we really believe that we can combine our efforts and create something that we are currently calling the Child Community Connections and see if we can't even get volunteers, adult volunteers, involved in this experience and reach out to our immediate families within the district.
And then Tony Pavlato and Kathleen Johnson, my conversation with them, I got to tell you, very supportive. We spoke a lot about the grandparents in the community. Would they be interested in being involved with the community connections with the children and others? So more to come, and hopefully we're able to come back in the summer. Hopefully we get a grant. If not, we're going to put all these into place and go from there. But I can say that Kathleen and Tony both were very supportive in understanding budgets and what we're going through as a school district every year. And we're very open to the idea, and excited about that. The last slide, pretty much just with making those cuts, Board of Education, that I recommended, it now equals the balance, or balances our budget with our expenses, with our revenue. If you are to approve this tonight, we will move forward, and we will give an extensive, comprehensive presentation at May 5th.
6th.
May 6th, sorry. And Board of Education first. Any questions from the Board of Education?
Excuse me?
Any questions first from the Board of Education?
Not a question, but I was on the board when a committee recommended this parent-child home program. And these are great ideas, and thank you, everybody who put them together. But when you say that these families will come here, that's hoping for a lot. And when we develop a budget, there's a lot of discussions, and as a team that I feel is really important for the board to be, I just want everybody to understand that doesn't mean that we're all in agreement on all of this, that we battle a lot with our own conscience. The tax cap this year is 4.23. I think we're leaving money on the table by making it 1.5. I battled to throw some more money at this. It wasn't agreed upon, so we have to do that. But I think that the community, when they vote on this, also has to come and realize we all can't get everything we want, unfortunately. And so it's a process. And I find this one of the saddest cuts I've ever made, because it was a committee that came, and you see the shortfalls. We've documented them. We've documented what it did for our school. And so, again, I when you reach consensus, it doesn't mean that you fully are 100% behind it, but that you have to create something that you can get, that you want the community to try to move forward on. So, but I do feel the need, sorry to say that, this is heartbreaking.
Any other questions from the board?
Just, what does this actually, do for us in terms of helping to eliminate some of the study halls that some of our kids have, the 3 or 4 study halls?
When you say 3 or 4 study halls, I have some statistics. I don't know if I've sent you guys, but I will if the Board of Education is interested. At the middle school level, I think the presentation from the middle school was where we eliminated study halls. It does not eliminate music 3 or 4. There are far and few that are the DAT number.
I'm just saying, Mr. Soto said 3 and 4 when he presented on high school.
No, 3 or 4. Students having 3 or 4, right? So if you have one student that has 4 or a couple students that have 3, you're right. And study hall is not something that we like. I think we had pointed out that there were almost, I believe, there were 18 or something of that nature. Remember, we were talking about 3 possible teachers,
right,
in those positions. If the board wishes, and this is where it gets tough, if the board wishes to add one FTE into the budget, it's about $100,000. And once you do that, then something else has to come off the table. I agree with you, Gary. A student doesn't have to choose a study hall for the most part. But I would say in the high school, maybe half the students in the high school have one study hall. Some parents want it and choose to do it, and that's up to them. But you're absolutely correct. But the board wanted to at this point in time to add a teacher in, which would be an elective teacher at the high school, we'd have to eliminate someplace else.
So this isn't really getting us, any new electives at the high school?
Absolutely not. It did eliminate study halls at the middle school, and I think we're not there yet, but one more year, I think we'll have them all eliminated. We eliminated all in sixth grade last year.
Correct.
2 years ago,
yep.
I think we'll let you do for starting in seventh grade,
this
half.
Yeah, correct. Most of them except for the one that every student has for a quarter of the year in seventh grade was eliminated, that's the only item for our language.
Right.
And then next year will be the complete elimination of 6 and 7, the every other day when that section will be eliminated, and then following.
So we are getting rid of them as a district, that is our goal. So
high school level isn't necessarily a bad thing. Because, in high school, hopefully the kids are starting more in time management,
right,
and they can take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But when you get up to 3.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, there are many students in the school district who have none and don't even want to lunch. That's the other side of it, and it's the question of whether it's too much pressure on the student. But I think the student can take it, and they have a class where they can eat it. There's someone who can't have a science lab in those classes, but if you can eat, I'm going to make sure you eat. I'm okay with that for the most part.
So, I don't want to put you on the spot, but to your recollection, Carlos, might be yours. So this, when we go and we say, the last 206,000, okay, so when we looked, and you looked and you presented in the presentations getting up to this, mm-hmm. there were additional or previous section, whatever we call section consolidations that were recommended. And from the top of your head, can you, just so that everybody here has a full picture, while these are the 3, and nobody likes to have reductions in programs, there were others as well that got us here.
Yeah, this was when we were in the, what the board asked me to do in the beginning was to do the personnel first. Usually it comes at the end, it would be added into this. When we did the personnel, we eliminated, for enrollment reasons, we eliminated 2 teachers. One is going to be, I think, in grade 1, and the other is going to be at the 6th grade. Meaning the size of the classes. No, 5th grade is automatic, because 5th grade right now has 5 sections, but we have 4 teachers there.
Right.
So although they are eliminated, the sections stay the same.
Yeah.
So basically, you're absolutely correct. The only other thing we did was that, I believe, unless I'm missing something in administration. Was it two elementary teachers?
Yeah. We eliminated the deputy superintendent's position.
Well, should know that, well, you're right.
Yeah.
We didn't fill certain positions. I don't have to look at that. I guess it is elimination, but it was already done.
More did for me here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have to fill.
Explain the deputy superintendent.
Yeah.
Just that everybody hears in one.
Yeah, at this point in time, we had, if you remember, we had Ms. Adams, the one superintendency engineer. And since Mr. Allen has actually moved on to another administrative position. So at this point in time, we've interviewed for only one position instead of two. We've combined them to some extent. We spread some jobs out, so we are doing that. And also, I must add that we added for the ESL, right, the Part 154, we had a whole meeting about that, and that was we added one full teacher, and that was an unfunded mandate that came down from the state. Was there anything else? I don't think that was about
those were the major.
And I think we said, I think it was about $200,000.
So to Wendy's point, you know, from my perspective, as I've said, nobody likes the elimination of a program that is able to help so many people. But in kind of looking at the different options and where it is, it's a very, very hard decision. But I want to take a second to commend kind of the thought process, at least, from Mr. Soto and Ms. Hardwick in saying, how can we make every attempt to fill that gap without incremental revenue that we don't have? So kind of do more with less, I think, is very important. And, you know, I think we'll be watching very closely to see the how that works and to kind of make tweaks and changes as necessary to that program, if not because, you know, without that, I believe that we will be in a tougher position. Without helping these kids, we will be in a tougher position. So it's a very tough balance.
Other questions from the public?
We go back a week. I just want to address Ms. Turkington. Ms. Turkington, thank you, because I think that was incredibly crazy statement you just made, and I couldn't agree with you more. So thank you very much for stating that fact. Somebody who's been here now for 15 years, 13 years in elementary school, and 2 years in middle school, I agree with you 100% that it's a wonderful thing. We have parents now that we email, call, write letters to. We can't even get into parenting. So to say that they're going to jump down on the rating program, we can't even get a minute to sit down and eat with us for 10 minutes. I agree with the last thing I would just, you know, encourage the board to please consider as a parent of a fifth grader. I know we're looking at sixth grade next year, our numbers, and we have an amazing example tonight, and thank you again to Jesse and Mario for being here. That ELA math lab component, next year our class sizes will jump from 20 students to 24 to 25 students per class. And instead of having one dedicated teacher for that ELA math lab, which is such an important piece, again, a great example, here tonight, that's going to be eliminated. And from what I understand, that'll be taught by four different people. That's pretty powerful. It's a huge transition. Again, for somebody who's in the elementary school for 13 years, 2 years now in middle school, for those children to come up to the secondary campus is a huge step. And the first few months, you call many of them, you are kind of holding their hand. It's their first independence. It's an amazing experience now being able to see both ends of it. But I know as a parent of the fifth grade, I am concerned that we are now eliminating a position, compacting in, we're making our class sizes bigger, and I'm always trying to keep in your goals, which I think are great, the goals set by the Board of Education, but it's going to make those goals even harder to achieve with increasing our class sizes. And how we're going to figure out that ELA math lab component and the amazing work. And again, we can see the evidence here tonight. So that's my concern. And again, I would ask you to, you know, try to consider. I understand the funding and all that other stuff. But if those are things we can kind of tap into, and that educational step moving in from the fifth grade to the sixth grade is a key component. But again, Mr. Turkington, I just want to thank you for your comment because it goes to the heart. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add one thing. I've spoken before about meeting the needs of the children who are doing well, they need to be
approximately 25, I would say. Is that correct? Yeah.
And Mr. Soto had mentioned a quote about low-income families or families with less reading and probably the more targeted 25 we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that, again, just being said, if that's the case, mm-hmm. we're probably looking at a dual working family that probably can't get here. So yeah. For me, that's very concerning. That the same, I feel like you're compounding the same problem is probably already there.
Point well taken.
Are there any other questions? Thank you. This brings us to the portion of our agenda where there's questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only. Does anybody have any? I'd ask you to come up to the podium and state your name because we're recording.
My name is Colleen Smetho. I am a member of the PTA board, and I also have 3 children in the school district. I just had a letter that I would like to read and address to Mr. Stewart and the Board of Education. There's some rhetorical questions in it, so it's really just kind of food for thought. It is my understanding that the current budget to be adopted calls for the elimination of several teaching positions, consolidation of 2 elementary grades from 4 to 5 sections, which will result in larger classroom sizes and the addition of several new clubs and athletic programs. Our school's job is to educate our children. While new athletic programs and clubs are wonderful, they should not take precedence over our children's academic education. I urge you to not allow this to happen. Can our board and administration think outside of the box? Surely there are ways to save money and save our academics. On a daily basis, we have parent volunteers working with many of our kindergartners to help bring them up to grade level, yet next year we will be increasing their classroom size. We currently do several minutes of gym time in the classroom each morning to meet state standards because we can't afford to hire another gym teacher. We have seen seniors taking numerous study halls because we do not have the classes to offer them or because they are not motivated to take more classes, and this is okay. I have proudly led the CMPTA Scholarship Committee for the last 3 years and have overall been disappointed not only in the lack of students applying, but in the ability of our seniors to write an essay and submit a professional application. We are a small school, yet we have separate 7th and 8th grade teams for each sport. Why not one team? Whole tryouts. This is what happens in the majority of schools. Granted, not everyone will make the team, but in life, not everyone makes the team either. I am not here asking you to do away with extracurricular activities because I do feel they are very important. I am asking you to think outside of the box and not sacrifice our children's academic education. Anytime we lay off teachers, we are doing a disservice to our children.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions on that?
If I could just make another brief comment. I'm not running again, just to let everybody know, so I have nothing to lose here. We got burned with that bond vote. Burned. And a board can only follow and try to speak for the town and the community and their votes. So you know how you can support us and get a vote for the budget overwhelmingly and assure us you're behind us so that we can keep this together. That's really the only way we can do it, is by getting out the vote, getting out the positive vote, showing us that we have your support, and then we can move forward. But at this point, we're coming from a point where we're not sure that we do, and we're not sure what the vote will be. And so we can't put up something and risk getting it voted down. So please speak to your neighbors and speak to people. We had a miserable turnout for the bond vote. And, you know, the last vote, so that's really, that's how you affect this. That's how we don't just sit up here in a vacuum creating this and putting forth our ideas. We can only act on what we receive from you. So if I can ask you nothing else, come out and vote. Show us what you'll support. Show us that you want to keep this program together, because I was here over 10 years of huge growth, and really great things happening. And to be here now as we start tearing it apart is horrible. So that's all I'm going to say tonight.
I support a lot of that. I really do. And I think, you know, Wendy and I have spoken a lot personally about, you know, what to do here. And we have a stated board goal from the beginning of the year to keep our tax levy increase at 1.5%. We voted through the veterans exemption, and that was part of that. And we talked a lot about, do we go back on that? We're trying to build trust. We set this goal. Unfortunately, with regard to state aid, we had a big, and Carol, I'm looking at you, but we had a big building aid piece that fell out. So the state aid number that we got was significantly lower than others. So many different things come into play in doing this. And, you know, our feeling is the community will look at this as, or at least my feeling, as a 3% increase, when it's not really that, because you have your bond, which is approximately 1.2%, and this, which is about 1.3%, plus the veterans exemption piece. So our significant concern, and one of the things that continues to eat at me, is if we went back on our initial board goal, if we increased that and went with more to whether it be save a program or increase, you know, or decrease class size by keeping an additional teacher or adding a different area to grow the program, if it were at the risk of having the bond fail or at the risk of having the budget fail, we are then in a very tough spot. So I think until we've got and we feel that there's significant community support for what we're doing, we have to be absolutely careful with every penny and stick to everything that we've said we would do. And that's really what we're trying to do. Nobody likes this, but that's what we're trying to do. Ron?
Good evening, Josh, and the board. I share Wendy's concern and have worked with a number of you in years past when we got into the budgets after the tremendous tax increase of my welcome to the district. But I have three family members in the high school and a recent graduate, and I feel the pain of the reduction of opportunity. And I'm not talking about athletic opportunity. I'm not talking about extracurricular activities. I'm talking about the loss of an opportunity for a high school junior or senior to attend the vocational program because we've made an arbitrary cut in the number of children that can go. Now, it's wonderful that we expect our children to go to college for educational, academic reasons. There's a lot of children that are going to make wonderful lives in vocational studies, but we've cut that. And I think what I've heard in the community is a need to be fiscally responsible, but there is a concern that we'll get a point of diminishing returns and we will start cutting bone and meat and not just fat. The loss of an ELA teacher is critical. It's critical. I understand goal setting. I do it every day. I do it in the business world. But goals are targets. And if there is a valid business reason that you can defend to exceed that goal, then it's the civic responsibility of the elected officials to try and sell that. And at this point, to hold to an arbitrarily selected 1.5% goal, and I know you put work into it, but it's below the tax cap. It is an arbitrarily set goal that you have the flexibility to change. And if we think as a community that cutting a program in reading or in early childhood development is going to cost us money in 3 years, or it's going to cost us money in 4 years with disadvantaged children, then we have a responsibility to look at funding that program now. And I do respect the challenges that you have, but I would urge that you have a little more faith in the community that hasn't voted in recent years. It's not just the people who come out and vote no. There are people who just haven't come out to vote. And recent historical elections have shown the number of people that will support a well-presented financial plan if they believe in it. And I think I'm a supporter of the tax cap. I believe in the tax cap. I believe in that check against runaway spending. But I also believe that we have to look at that tax number. We have to look at that cap number and make it work for us. And it does concern me right now that we're going to come in too low. And I know that's hard for some people to hear, but if you talk to the grandparents and you talk to the community members and you say it's not a salary, we're not adding an administrator, we're not adding another athletic program. I don't believe there should be split 7th and 8th grade teams, but we're not adding those. We're cutting a teacher. We're cutting an English language arts teacher. We're cutting a vocational program. Is this the district that you want to live in? It's not the district I moved into. And I would urge that you have a little conversation and maybe come back with a tweak on it. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Ron, believe me, we don't want to see anybody lose their jobs. Nobody does. I mean, and, you know, the two teachers that would be lost are wonderful teachers. Do you think, though, that I know the tax cap is 4.2 or something like that. My personal belief is if we were to float a 4% increase, that it'd fly back in our face. And that's, in my opinion, far worse than this budget passing.
I would concur with that at that number. But I don't think the community has the number in front of them that what the difference would be. 1.5% was the goal, 1.9-ish. I'm not privy to those numbers, but where we're going to be, what is the number if you added those essential positions back in?
Not the 4%. 1.9. I'm sorry.
I had heard scuttlebutt that we were somewhere around 1.9%. And I could be completely wrong. Are you staying at the 1.5?
1.3.
Okay. Yeah. So we're at 1.3. That's even worse than I heard. The people I had at the bar probably didn't have good information. But if you go back and say, we understand your concern at 1.3, but it'll be 2.1, and we won't lose these two teachers. Yep. And I would ask. I think that could pass. And that's my belief. That could be wrong.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, if, you know, and this is a horrible thing, and please don't misinterpret what I'm about to say, because I'm converting people into percentages, and that's not the intent, because people are not percentages. But each teacher really represents about 1% of an increase in the tax levy, or is it a half a percent?
Half a percent.
Half a percent. Mm-hmm. So then we would have to, in theory, for the parent-child home program and the two teachers, that would be the equivalent of about 1.5% or 1.8% additional on top of what we have now. So we're up over 3% now.
Plus the bond.
Right, plus the bond. And
which means the homeowner plus the 0.2% that the homeowner will feel for the veterans exemption that we voted through, which I fully support, but that homeowner then, when he or she looks at the tax bill, is at 4.5% or 5%.
So you're making the decision, and just for clarification purposes, not for debate, and I appreciate the number of being around 0.5%, but I don't think it has to be all or nothing. Maybe one of those three comes back. Maybe you prioritize. We can't do the home program because the $102,000 is a lot, but maybe we can save the one teacher and go with 1.8. I come from a business world where you don't necessarily get everything you want. You try and work your way into what you can afford and get as much as you can get to meet your goal, meet your objective. If these programs are critical, and they're going to cost us more later, and I understand from community organizing how it's hard to get volunteers, and when Mr. Turner was saying about getting people to actually come in for the program, but maybe the ELA works for us and we can get that back, and we can't do the home program. It's an incremental step, and I completely understand what you're saying, Joshua, because we do have people in this community that even if Governor Cuomo said 2%, they can't understand the multipliers, and I get that. But you're selling them, you're making your decision now with the belief that they won't be able to differentiate the two. I don't know where they're yet.
Such a resounding, and this is my significant fear, a resounding no on the last time that we put the bond up, okay, both on Proposition 1 and Proposition 2, I think I would have a lot more comfort. My doomsday scenario is that even at a reduced bond, when you combine them, which is what we've heard from a lot of people in the community and in the survey, they should be combined so they have a general idea of everything that comes into play, that one or the other don't pass, and we need both.
Are you prohibited from putting up the budget that you'd like to see and then cutting it back down to 1.3% if it gets voted down? I don't think you're prohibited from doing that.
Do you mean having a second budget
vote? No, what I'm saying is you put out a budget vote that said, we think this is the best for the community. And if the community comes back with a resounding no, you go back and say, well, here's the 1.3. Is that...
You could do that, but you only have one other chance of putting in the budget. If it goes down again, then you're at a zero.
You're at a zero. Right.
So that's...
You're at a zero. It's not austerity the way it used to be. But the community would understand that. The community, I believe, would understand. Let the community have the opportunity. We have the votes in this community. The bond was a separate issue. There was emotional discussion about the bond, about the time of year it was, the way it presented. I was a supporter of the turf. I understand the community doesn't agree with that. I can accept the vote of the community. I understand that. But there was a lot of emotion around the bond and the way it was put up that may not be part of our regular budget proposal. And I've seen, and you've seen, 1,500 and 1,400 vote yeses in this community. And I saw a bond vote where people didn't come out. It wasn't that there were 1,500 no's or 900 no's. There were people that didn't come out. And I understand why some of those organizations protested the bond the same way some parents protest the testing. They felt that their concerns were put to the side, and they were, and whether it's true or not, but there was large contingents of our population that sat that out. And I would suggest, and again, just my suggestion, that cutting some of these programs right now is detrimental to the community, and I wouldn't be comfortable with that decision. I would rather try and sell a reasonable budget that includes those programs, and then if it fails, we cut to the bone and give it back to the community, cut to the bone. I don't see a community that's going to vote no twice to get to zero, or else we would have done that already. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other questions on the agenda tonight? Thank you. Pat?
Can I have a motion to accept the minutes of the regular meeting of April 1st and the special meeting of April 13th?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the retirement of Susan Kelly.
Motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Mr. Stewart had an opportunity to say some very nice things earlier about Ms. Kelly, and we absolutely wish her the best.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2014-2015 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2014-2015. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Do you want me to read the CEQA resolution?
Just...
Nah.
No.
I don't hear a resounding nah. Yeah.
No, that's you can just read the beginning and that's fine, whereas.
Whereas the Board of Education of the Santa Maria's Union Free School District is the lead agency under the state environmental quality review process for the purpose of required determinations respecting the proposed capital improvement projects as follows.
Make a second to explain this.
If anybody wants to, you could actually go down to the large gymnasium and look in the southwest corner. If you look up, you're going to see about, I'm going to say, a board you approved, I think it was last week or the week before, about an eighth of the gymnasium there. They put a trussle, which is, I believe, a trussle stabilization on top across about an eighth of it. In the bond is the rest of it. The only reason we went out and did phase one is because Carol and I had an engineer come. We had some safety concerns, although we were assured all the students were safe. We were looking at literally the wind and seeing if it was over 40 miles per hour, what it could actually happen on the top of the Southwest Gym area. So was it over the break? Over the break, we did about an eighth of that, but you have to do it. To do the rest, we have to have an environmental, which you already have, right? This has been already approved by the architect. It's in the bond. What I would say to the board, if the bond does not pass, I'm going to immediately do what I did to the or make the recommendation to do what we did with the first eighth. The next phase, which would be phase two, is probably about $100,000, maybe $110,000. I would still ask the board to do that in July. It would come out of your surplus if the bond didn't pass. But if you want to go down board and look after tonight, I will show you. Community, there was a couple cracks in the walls that was noticed by our maintenance staff and administration. We immediately were uncomfortable with the cracks in the wall. We asked for an architect to come in and a few others who took a look at it just to assure us that we were safe. We were safe, but it seemed like it could get worse and it could happen very quickly. So we didn't want to chance it. So we immediately put money in from the maintenance budget. It actually will probably cut into our surplus a little bit. So that's what you'll see out there. Does that make sense?
Motion.
So this is going to really, what's been done is going to reduce the amount that we really need to borrow in the bond for this particular project.
Yes, but that's not what you're voting on tonight. You're voting on tonight just the environmental piece. You have to do this piece.
Right, I
understand. To make sure.
Phase two is in the budget.
Right,
phase
correct.
Two is in the capital.
Yes.
Project, right.
So this is not voting on that. The bond will vote on that.
Right.
But you have to have this before you do that.
But we already, the money that's already been spent will reduce the amount for that particular.
Correct. 150. It was at 150,000.
Right.
And that spent about 40,000. And why that was so expensive for just about an eighth of the work was because there was a lot of blueprints and things that had to be done in the beginning. Because when I looked at it, I said, well, that's 40,000. Times it by eight, it doesn't make a sense how the rest is going to be 110,000. And they explained to me that the beginning of the project, with the blueprints and the work they had to do in the beginning, was more expensive than the end.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education awards the contracts for printing as the lowest responsible bidder as per the specifications for 2015-2016 year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries.
The Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of March 2015. And authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of March 2015 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Russ, there was the one note at the end of that, that there were eight people that didn't have photo IDs. We took care of that?
Yes. On that particular day.
Right.
So you're asked to have it. If you forgot your wallet, what they will do, they will actually stop your automatic payment into your bank. If you don't bring it, they ask you one time and you have to bring it. Or on that Friday, they would actually stop your automatic payment. Is that correct?
Sure, people remember then.
They did remember. I had a few calls from someone, even an administrator called me concerned that I won't say who, though.
The superintendent of schools, Russell Stewart, and business official, Carol Perkins, reviewed the financial and instructional components of the 2015-2016 budget. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of school, the Board of Education adopts the 2015-2016 proposed school district budget in the amount of $40,074,666.
Discussion?
Motion.
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 Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Oh, we've already had some.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
recommended action, be it hereby resolved that the Board of Education of the Santa Maria's Union Free School District approves the real property tax report card prepared by the district's business office for the 2015 annual district meeting, and be it further resolved that a copy of said report card shall be submitted to the State Education Department by the end of the next business day following this approval.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
I should have asked this question when I got the document in the packet, but this is the technical document. There's nothing to this other than the filling in of the numbers that have been approved and the
that
tax
is,
audit.
That
okay.
is correct.
Did you add, was there student change in that number?
Yes.
Did you give that to the Board of
no,
Education?
I didn't. No.
Can you do me a favor? Just give that to them now.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It means that it didn't change anything,
no.
but actually there was an enrollment number on there that was actually incorrect. It didn't change anything.
What I did was I looked at the Western Suffolk BOCES enrollment, and I just received that, and I updated it.
But not a tuition
no.
student.
No,
change.
No, no.
Okay.
No,
it doesn't
just,
change anything,
no,
but
no,
I just
no.
thought to be completely accurate that
yes.
the Board would want to have
right.
the correct, exact document in front of them. And which part was that, Carol? What number?
The 1630? It's on the bottom.
Okay, so it was a 1630 number?
Yes.
Do you remember what you had of that? I mean, I could probably check.
1723. And now what counts for that?
She I looked at the Western Suffolk. I had one old, I had an older enrollment report or a demographic report, and I called Western Suffolk BOCES to get a recent report.
The most up-to-date.
Yes, most
so what year was this one? Do you remember the old one, 1723?
It was about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So we've lost approximately 100
yes.
production?
Yes. And that was also when Western Suffolk BOCES, when they commented, they noticed that there's going to be, as the years go on, there'll be a slight decrease in enrollment each year.
So our years of increasing enrollment haven't...
At this point.
At this point.
The studies are showing that now it's supposed to stabilize for
yeah,
for a
month. Yes, it's not. No drastic.
Thank you.
Because it was a pretty drastic increase there for a while, so
right.
I just wanted
5% a year, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important to know.
Okay. Motion. All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries.
The superintendent of schools will review with the Board of Education the names of 5 candidates running for the 5 open BOCES Board of Education seats. There are 5 vacancies for a term commencing on July 1, 2015 and ending June 30, 2018. School Board President Josh P. Foster will conduct a vote for the annual election of candidates to serve on the Eastern Suffolk BOCES Board of Education. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education authorizes the district clerk to record the outcome of the election and notify Eastern Suffolk BOCES of the results of the vote for the 5 open BOCES Board of Education seats. Roll call is taken.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
What are we voting on?
Or can we just ask the board if they
you can cast one vote.
One vote.
Because it's 5 and 5 here. Unless somebody has a concern. You're supposed to vote individually.
Vote individually on each one as a board.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do we want to do it? Do we want to vote individually on each one as a board or on the slate for all?
Just
one
on the
vote?
Slate. But we do have to officially
vote
right.
for the slate because right. it's...
Okay,
everybody's
so
on it. You know, there's only 5 that number of positions. So.
Motion to vote yes for all 5 members on this slate.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education authorizes the district clerk to record the outcome of the vote and notify Eastern Suffolk BOCES of the result of the vote for the adoption of the BOCES administrative budget. 2015-2016.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education and Preschool Special Education for the months of February, March, and April for the 2014-2015 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Do we, before we get to the next one, I had sent you a note on an
you
email
did,
that
but
I got.
I would have to make an addendum on the meeting, so if it's okay with you, I'll I'll call Ms. Barton and let her know that she will be approved at the next meeting, but
fine.
She's welcome to attend the meeting.
Fine, thank you.
Do we have to do, I'm just thinking about this, because I didn't realize we actually had this on there. Could we just put Shauna on, because, I mean, I know it's a different committee than this one. Would it have to be separate? Because we do have numbers 19 here. That's why I was, you know, I didn't know it was on that path, but I know.
Well, we have approved numerous committees on in one motion.
Right. I mean, Shauna wants to go on the curriculum committee, right? We only have a couple meetings left.
Yeah.
Was there a downside to?
The downside is she goes to the next meeting. She really, I mean, although I think.
Is there a downside to not doing it, to doing it tonight?
No, I would put her on tonight, now that I'm looking at it, just because we're already, you know, just add her name.
Can we just amend the agenda for tonight on the spot?
Yeah,
add her name.
Now that I'm looking at it, Pat.
Sure.
If anybody has any specific questions about that, add.
Yeah, because then she could speak, and it'll be in a minute.
Sure, sure.
Thank you.
Shauna Barton, curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yep. So recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individual for the 2014-2015 technology committee, Jennifer Perillo, and then we'll amend to say recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education approves the following individual for the 2014-2015 curriculum committee.
Or I can just following individual for the 2014-2015 committees. And
okay.
Put
Shauna
technical
Barton for
Jen Perillo curriculum.
Yep.
Shauna
I'm on board with it. I'm on board with it.
All right, I'll do that way.
Yeah. So motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Brings us to the next section of our agenda for tonight: questions and comments from the community on matters not on this agenda. Any other questions?
Board members, faculty, teachers, and parents. My name is Lizette Stafford, and I spoke at the April 1st meeting regarding my daughter Carrie's AP Studio Art class. On March 27th, Carrie was removed from Ms. Graff's class due to a personnel issue. At this time, we were waiting for college decisions, and there was spring break. It wasn't until April 17th that Carrie was returned to Ms. Graff's roster. Following my address to the board on April 1st, I emailed copies of my speech to members Mr. Foster, Ms. Turkington, Mr. Unger, Ms. Rayburn, and Mr. Hogan. The only responses I received were from Mr. Foster and Mr. Unger. After replying to several emails, Mr. Foster requests from Mr. Stewart, whom he CC'd, "Can you please clarify the requirements to teach her daughter's class and confirm that her daughter's teacher has those requirements?" I then received an email from Mr. Stewart that said, "According to the College Board, there are no rigidly defined selection criteria for who can serve as an AP teacher. Therefore, specific professional development training is not required. What is required is interest, passion, knowledge of the subject area, and the teacher must meet the state's requirement for certification. Mrs. Sandberg meets these criteria and is willing and available to help Carrie complete the remainder of the course. Additionally, the teacher does not need to be part of the digital submission process. A teacher can submit his or her works directly to the AP coordinator using the same process as they would with his or her teacher. After confirming with the College Board myself the requirements needed to teach and submit the work, I knew there were criteria that could not be met by the new teacher, that Carrie was now told, who now Carrie was told to go to for instruction. Additionally, the AP coordinator is out on maternity leave. On April 16th, I went up to the school to speak with Ms. Sandberg. I asked her if she has ever taught an AP art class before, and she said no. I asked her if she had taught the prerequisite AP Studio Art class needed for this class. She said no. I then asked Mrs. Sandberg if she even spoke to Ms. Graff about Carrie's projects. She said no. I asked if she had online access to the College Board site, and she said no. How then is this teacher qualified according to Mr. Stewart? Interest, passion, knowledge are not the only requirements for teaching an AP class. A syllabus must be created and submitted to the College Board by January 31st. What is most perturbing is that I received no apologies for the unprofessional behavior of the administration, particularly Mr. Stewart. On the district homepage, it states the goals of the Board of Education of which communication is mentioned. And I quote, "Communication among the Board of Education, administration, faculty, staff, and students continues to be the foundation upon which we will succeed or fail as a school district. It is the goal of the board to continue to analyze and evaluate the existing communication process and protocols to determine its effectiveness and to increase or enhance such communication where appropriate. Special emphasis will be placed on parent-teacher communication via telephone, email, and or the full implementation and use of the parent portal." Where was my communication for Mr. Stewart when you abruptly took my daughter out of her class when 3/4 of the year has passed? Where was my communication when you brought my daughter into an office to speak to her without me there? One of the goals listed on the district homepage under student achievement states that the board will support the students in all areas of their education. This includes, but is not limited to, academics, the arts, and altruism. Merriam-Webster defines altruism as feelings and behavior that show a desire to help other people and a lack of selfishness. In essence, caring about others. Was it in this spirit that Kerry was taken out of her mentor's class and tossed around? Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to take a moment to address what's been said. First, I apologize that you're unhappy with the actions that were taken. I sincerely do, and I understand your concern. The board throughout this process has made every effort to ensure that there's no negative impact to any student, and that was very important to us. It was very important in our discussions with Mr. Stewart. And we recognize that we can't always share everything, but we discussed the issue at length over, you know, when we received your email, it was not something that was thrown away or ignored. We discussed it at length. I personally spent a lot of time on the College Board website. I know Mr. Stewart did as well. We called. We had many conversations throughout the entire process. We believe that there's been a resolution that's been reached with the union, the teacher, and all students involved, and that the students' current wishes have been met. To that end, as noted, we've made schedule modifications to permit the teacher to provide instruction during her scheduled class periods. We understand that there's frustration generally, and your point about, you know, board goals to have better communication, that there's frustration with regard to the level of information that is able to be shared. I understand that. I feel that, and it's really a goal of ours to be as transparent as possible. And during this process, we spoke to our lawyers at length, and we kind of talked about what we could share, what we couldn't share. And, you know, I said, tell me, write for me, explain to me how much I can share. Show me where that line is. So we've tried to do that throughout this process, and we're subject to certain confidential obligations that are imposed by law and by our contracts with our unions, which cannot be abridged absent consent from all parties involved. So we really have to respect those obligations as well. So while we strive to provide as much transparency as we can, and I've got throughout this process probably 30 emails from concerned students, from concerned parents, and I try to explain as much as we could without infringing upon those rights of others. At this point, we really feel that administration's done what they can to make sure that all needs have been met. We feel and we hope that while you're unhappy with the process to get here, the ultimate resolution does what is necessary, and that your daughter and is getting exactly what she needs. So again, I do apologize that you're unhappy with the action and the way that this all transpired. I sincerely do.
Thank you.
there any other questions from the community on items not on the agenda? Hi.
And my mom told me that because Ms. Foster was newer and that was an elementary school position in sixth grade, that she could possibly be getting cut. And I really would like it if she could continue to work here and not be cut, because she has always helped me academically and personally. And I come to her this year even though she's no longer my teacher. And during lunch sometimes, because that's one of her free periods, me and a few other students go into her classroom and we just talk and eat lunch with her and sit like we used to in sixth grade. And she used to have a lunch club where she would help students during lunch, but now she's the monitor during lunch, so she can't really do that anymore. But she is a great addition to the school, and she's brought her son, and she's come by herself to a bunch of the PTA events and school events, like the Glow Run, the Chinese Auction, the Wizards Game, and some of the sponsored movies from the PTA. And she's a great teacher and person in general, and she's just one of my favorite teachers. Yeah.
So, first, I commend you for stepping up and doing what you've just done. It's unbelievable. It shows that you care, and it shows that you put a lot of thought into this. So absolutely great job, and great job sticking up for somebody that you really feel strongly about. And it's important to do that in life, I believe. The budget process, as we talked through at the beginning, and I don't know if you were here or not, but as you heard, it's an incredibly difficult process. And nothing, so that you know, and none of the cuts that we want to make, and none of the people that were necessarily cut or were not able to fund in this, it doesn't indicate our lack of love for these people or the job that they've done. And these are just the very difficult decisions that we have to make. And, you know, we can take a second. There are is it laws or union requirements as to...
Yeah, there's a seniority, and I commend you. Wow, you're an impressive young lady. There is a seniority list, and sad sometimes because the last person that was hired is usually the first one to get accessed. And you brought up a specific teacher's name that, believe it or not, was a superstar in another district, accessed in that district. We were able to grab her and get a hold of her unanimously by administration, so we hired her. So you can imagine how upset we are as well, because I cannot say enough about Ms. Foster and what she does for the school district, not only in the classroom, but Board of Education. If you saw how much she did outside of the classroom, and not only with the students, if you came and you probably hear it in the hallways with the middle school teachers, but what she has done building morale in the middle school since I've been here, second to none. Absolutely. So, but it's a seniority, and that's where it gets tough, because sometimes you don't understand when you see such a unbelievable person possibly being accessed.
Is there any other questions from the community tonight? Items not on the agenda?
My name is Sandy Gillis-Unger, and I feel like more should be done about our student, Carrie. It's nice that you apologized to her, Josh, and that the process took whatever. I find it offensive to hear that a superintendent was yelling in front of a student within earshot or not, inappropriately. I also had voiced at recent meetings that having the head of the union also be the assistant interim principal is not appropriate to solve these kinds of problems. To have a student taken into a superintendent's office after hearing this is intimidating. This is her senior year. It's nice that you apologize to her, but That doesn't bring back the last couple of weeks for her. And I'd like to know what you plan to do when you hear that one of your staff is being yelled at like that by a parent. A parent is telling you that your staff member was taught or was treated inappropriately. I don't think that's okay. I think as professionals, all of them should be able to be spoken to in a certain manner. And if this child, student, overheard anything that inappropriate, it is not professional behavior. And I don't know why we all, who heard her mother speak last week, why the community has to be outraged to hear this again. You know, through this process, and now we have, well, okay, what was done about it? Because obviously the person who's filling in as the union rep and the vice principal, how can he do all these jobs? That was brought up. How can you have somebody in the union representing your teacher but is also the assistant principal and all under Mr. Stewart, who is talking to your teacher like what? When a student's outside the door, and then you're taking the student into a room with him, even if there's somebody else there, without her parent being notified? I want to know when my kid is brought into one of your superintendent's offices. If they're under 18, I want to know that and have permission for you guys to do that. That's intimidating to somebody. And I want to know what you as a board are planning to do, because you're asking the community to have trust and that you're transparent. That's not transparent. Having somebody's parent this upset to come in here to do that twice now, not once, twice, to be clear to you all what happened. I'd like to know, what about the people who don't come to speak? There are certain people that don't like to get up to speak. I don't. But what about those people? Do you know anything about them? Or is this just put aside? But you want everybody's trust to vote your budget, to vote your bond. But we keep saying, what about this, what about this, what about that? It has to be run professionally. When you have somebody who's not being authentic and professional, it echoes through your school. And I feel that our senior deserved a lot better than this. She is a great student. There was no need for this to be done anywhere within earshot of her or her senior year. That was her spring break. That was all of that. She's working on a very intense project. And I just think that what you guys have done is a shame. It's embarrassing. Why should her mother have to come up here to get satisfaction? Don't you know what's going on in your school? That's it.
Thank you. Are there any other questions on tonight's agenda?
Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie. I'm a student that has been tonight's discussion mostly. I used to have complete faith in my school district and my administrators and everyone here, but recently that has all been taken away from me. I have lost faith and trust because of what has occurred personally to me. I always thought my administrators would put me first as well as my peers as put us first as students, but I can see that's not what has been going on. Due to personnel issues, I was the scapegoat. I was a student that had to suffer the past few weeks. Mentally, emotionally, it was very difficult because I had put in all this work for my EP class, and all of a sudden it was jeopardized. And the way it was went about was also, as Ms. Unger, I think her name is right, I'm sorry, just said, I saw the superintendent, well, not saw, but was in the other room and heard him talk to Ms. Graff very unpolitely, talking very loudly. I don't know if I would say yelling exactly, but pretty close to it. And I walked in there because I had to go get my backpack, so I saw and heard it. And then the next day, I get pulled into the session's office, and she tells me, Carrie, you're no longer an APR with Ms. Graff. I broke down in tears because it was just very emotional and difficult to understand what was going on. I go back to class second period. Third period, I get pulled out again, and now this time, it's the superintendent who wants to talk to me. And I sat there the whole time quiet because of what I had seen the previous day was made me feel uncomfortable. And then to sit there and now have him try and make it seem okay when I knew it wasn't okay. I just sat there quietly, just listened to him, said okay, went back to class, all upset again. And it's just been very sad to see what has been going on. And I just really hope that this doesn't ever happen to any other students. And I just am really sad that I, in my senior year, lost faith and trust in my administration.
So, as I said to your mom, I, on behalf of the board and Mr. Stewart and administration, apologize that you had a negative experience. That's never our goal. And, you know, to Ms. Unger's point, we always can do things better, and we will always look to do things better and go back and look at every single thing that was done and figure out how we can do better. Because I think the net of it at the end of the day is, if a student is unhappy with a situation, there is something that we could have done better. Okay, I in this situation, we've talked about it an enormous amount. As a board, I've spoken to Mr. Stewart about it, and I know that he's spoken to his administration about it. And I think that that's the net. We can always self-examine and say, if somebody's unhappy, if somebody has this much of an emotional experience, this much of a negative experience, we can figure out how we can grow and do better so that it's not repeated. So that's it. Any other questions, comments on the agenda tonight? Next Board of Education meeting will be on May 6th at 7:30 in the high school auditorium. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussions regarding proposed, pending, or current litigation, collective negotiations under the Taylor Law with the CMPA, medical, financial, or credit history of any person or corporation, or matters leading to the appointment, promotion, demotion, discipline, or termination of a particular person or corporation, preparation, grading, or administration of examinations. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you, Tom.